back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Umeb has the weekend off, but not really, because she's at a medical conference.
She's at a medical conference today, and she'll be at a different one next week.
So she's enjoying gaining more knowledge, which she loves.
Zipping around the country, going to meetings for a few weeks, and yeah.
There we go. Okay, so we were just talking with Dave before our break. Dave wanted to know about spinal stuff. His neurologist said he was a walking time bomb. That's so scary. Dave, are you with us?
Yes. I'm here, loud and clear.
Okay, let's find out what this means, Dr. Mixon.
Well, obviously, I have not seen those MRIs.
Okay.
but you know, what he's telling us is probably that the calcifications and old inflammatory changes in that in those vertebral bodies has started impinging and squeezing down on the spinal cord, and you know the surgeon is suggesting some interventions to open it up and give some more space. Do they tell you how many vertebral bodies were involved? You said it looked good down to about C4. Did it then improve once it got
C3 and C4? Okay.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the cervical spine is obviously a worrisome area because any damage there impacts everything below it for the whole rest of the body. So I don't know exactly what he's going to do. Obviously, spinal surgeries are outside of my areas of expertise. Tell you what, though, if Dan Nelson or one of our orthopedic colleagues is listening to the show, because we get a fair number of doctors who listen to the show.
That's right.
You know, give us a call and, you know, let's talk a little bit about options with spinal stenosis at the C3, C4 level.
Well, you know, one of the numbers given was a 5-10% chance of being paralyzed. Mm-hmm. From the surgery.
Yeah.
And of course, I was told, as far as the walking time bomb, I'd better not get hit by a car. I'd better not fall down, because then the lights will pretty much go out anyway. So the anesthesia was one part, yeah. But I will sure look forward to someone calling in.
You know, anesthesia I can address a bit. Yeah, the reality is, the older you are, the deeper and longer the anesthetic that you take, the more impact it has on our brains. Old brains just don't recover from anesthesia insults as well as young brains. And so what you want to do is obviously have the least invasive anesthesia and the least amount of time necessary. The problem in your case is you're looking at a very touchy surgery that could take quite a while, depending on what they find once they get in there. It's not something they can hurry and be slapdash about. You know, that you don't want that 5% risk of paralysis become 100% for you. You know, so obviously the surgeon needs to take his time. He needs to do the job correctly. He can't be in a hurry. And that then puts the onus on the anesthesiologist to say how light can he carry you and not have you move and force an oops on the surgeon. Because
yeah.
You know, oops is a word you do not want to hear in the operating room.
Oops.
So,
no.
Not that you would hear it because you'd be unconscious anyway.
That's right.
But I promise you, everybody else in the operating room would get palpitations if the mm-hmm. surgeon said oops.
Right.
Yeah. So anesthesia,
two surgeons.
Uh-huh.
I spoke with two different surgeons. One
good.
Said I'll go in the front. The other one said I'll go in the back. So, whatever.
Well, and that's two very different approaches. And once more, you're getting comments from someone who has very, very limited knowledge in this area. My general impression is that the anterior approach for spinal surgery for many cases is superior. But, who knows? I don't know your particular case. I don't know exactly what they're trying to do. And if I knew it, I still probably wouldn't know which was best. Because it's not my area. But let's see if Dr. Nelson or one of his colleagues over at Pro Alliance can give us a call and maybe add some light and knowledge to our current murky situation, shall we?
I look forward to it.
All right.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you. And Mr. Engineer, if we get a call from an orthopedist or a neurosurgeon or anybody over there, bump them to the front of the line. We'd love to hear from them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you can call, if you are thinking, I have a question for the doctors, but I'm a little shy. Sometimes we get people that will just ask our engineer, hey, it's okay if you're a little shy to be on the radio. It's all right. Change your name.
Give
us a fake name.
You be Esmeralda.
That is totally fine. Totally fine. We would love to talk to you. That way we can get the information and it's clearly communicated to our doctor.
When people give a question to the engineer and then he relays it to us.
To me via text and then I relay it to you.
Me.
Yeah, you can
see. We're playing telephone.
Yes.
And frequently I'll have a question I need to ask the caller to clarify.
Yeah.
The situation.
Yeah.
And I can't do that if all I've got is a relayed message, through two other people.
That's right. So, we'd rather talk with you no matter what.
Give us a fake name. Give us a fake city. Tell us you're Vladimir Putin from Moscow if you want to.
Although we may not take your call, but,
Whatever.
Maybe.
Well, the we'll advice see. I give you may result in your demise. But that's a whole different issue.
That is. Okay, we are, let's see. Here's our phone number, by the way, in case you are going, okay, I'll do it. I have a question for Dr. Mixon today. 800-465-8770. That's the number to get through right now and be live on the air like we are. Okay, let's head to Auburn. We have, actually Mukilteo. Todd is on the line in Mukilteo. Let's talk to Todd.
Okay, Mukilteo. That's another word I really love saying.
I do too. Yes. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. I love your show. I learn stuff every day. I listen to it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Bet. I do too. I love listening and hearing the doctors. And then I drive home talking to my mom and giving her all the information and we discuss the show again.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that we are at least moderately entertaining. So how can we be of help to you, sir?
Yes, Todd.
Very good. One thing, since the Delta variant is declining and we're kind of working on this COVID thing, do you think the boosters are necessary? Would you get a booster now? I've had my first shot. Would you get a booster?
I got my booster 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just because I'm in my 70s. I'm in my mid-70s.
And
statistically, that age puts me at higher risk than I would like. I am lean. I have good muscle mass. I have a healthy diet. So my immune system should be in pretty decent shape. So, my guesstimate is I'm probably less risk than the average guy in my age. Still, I got a 9-year-old daughter. I want to see grow up and be healthy and happy. And, I'm having a wonderful life. I'm enjoying every day I wake up. And, why would I want to take a chance?
There you go.
So, so I just got it.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
Well, that's good. I was just, we have an appointment on next Wednesday, and I was just kind of wondering if I should keep it or not, and it will.
Yeah, well, you know, I would. So, my wife is only in her mid-40s, and she would love to get her booster, but we can't seem to find a local pharmacy that actually will schedule her yet.
She's too healthy.
I mean, the CDC says she's eligible.
Okay.
The government says go for it, and the pharmacies are all saying no. We're just saving our stuff for the high risk people.
Okay.
And so,
And Todd, you mentioned you had one shot. Did you have the J&J?
I had the J&J. It felt like more of a normal shot to me, and I just was not sure about the others. And I had this thing about 8 months ago, and we're both, you know, we're both very fit and very lean, and
sure.
And so we still travel a bunch of stuff, and we've never gotten sick. I've not been sick in years, literally. So I just have kind of blown it off, and so I think based on what you said today, I'll just go ahead and get the second shot and hope it just keeps going.
And I'll tell you, you got the J&J, so you get a choice of which one you want to do a second with, and I'd recommend the Moderna. But, you know, if you've had the J&J, a second J&J shot will boost your antibody fourfold. If you get a Pfizer, it'll boost your antibody 34-fold. And if you get the Moderna, it'll boost your antibody 76-fold.
Jeez.
Yes. Johnson & Johnson is the least effective one, and Moderna is the most effective. And so if you've had Johnson & Johnson, go ask them for a Moderna, and that'll give you the best protection.
Very good. Thank you very much for your help. I appreciate the
You're welcome,
today
sir.
And keep on listening.
Okay, take care.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
Bye-bye, sir.
I love it. Well, Dr. Mixon, you asked if somebody was shy and they wanted to change their name, they could, to even Esmeralda. We have Esmeralda on the line right now, and she has a question. Esmeralda, thank you for calling. Yes.
Now, you do know where I got that name Esmeralda, of course, is from the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I love her. Yeah.
So, all right.
Can you hear me?
We hear you fine, ma'am. How can we help?
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, I'm not so shy, except I just couldn't resist Esmeralda BS.
Love it.
Esmeralda. But
thank you.
Anyways, my question is, I am a patient at Longevity at the Linwood Clinic, and I'm, you know, on the hormones and stuff. And my younger sister and two friends of mine have all had breast cancer with the estrogen feeding type of cancer.
Okay.
And so it just got me thinking last week. So the estrogen that I take, is there like a higher risk, you know, that I might be potentially feeding a tumor? Or I know that people who've had the breast cancer and had the surgery and stuff, they can still come to the clinic. They just won't get that particular estrogen component.
Uh-huh.
But for someone like me, who's I'm assuming I'm getting the full spectrum of estrogen in my cream, is there like a higher risk or no risk? Or I just was curious about that.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about estrogens and breast cancer, okay? An estrogen-positive breast cancer is a cancer that has mutated the tissue so that it now makes its own estrogen, right?
Okay.
So those tumors do not depend on the estrogen in your bloodstream. They make their own. They take pregnenolone, dehydroepiandrosterone, testosterone, and turn it into estradiol to feed themselves. All right?
Okay.
And that's why they put them on estrogen blockers. It's not to block the estrogen produced by your ovaries or that we would give you. It's to block the estrogen being produced by the tumor itself.
Oh, because all three of them are on the estrogen blocking medication.
That's right, and that's why.
You know, and I know how dangerous that is because I've listened to you for 20 years.
Okay. But the music says
women should come in and still be on estrogen because doesn't it block all estrogen in their body eventually?
It does. Tell you what, the music says we have to take a quick break.
But stay there, Esmeralda.
Stay on. Do not go away, Ms. Esmeralda. I will keep that evil hunchback away. Actually, it was the priest was the bad guy.
That's right. The priest was
the priest was
guy.
A good guy.
Hunchback. That's Fozzie right. was
yes,
a good guy.
That's right. Fozzie
we'll
was
be
the
back
good guy.
With
we'll
more
be back. Okay.
I'm Dr. Mixon and Esmeralda in just a moment. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
I've been away for 5 weeks. I've been in Italy, and I got to tell you, I kind of miss you guys on the weekend. I do have this rare honesty that you find in Europe, but you don't see in the United States. Everybody's too careful about what they say and don't say, and I just love the fact that you tell it like it is.
To Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. I'm here with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Umat has the weekend off, and we've been talking with Esmeralda about hormones, estrogen, and we'll continue with that conversation, Dr. Mixon.
Yeah, there was a study published back in 2000 that terrified everybody. I mean, there were actually newspaper headlines that said HRT, that stood for hormone replacement therapy, causes breast cancer. Well, in that study, they only used two drugs. They used Premarin, which is a conjugated equine. These are horse estrogens. Estrogens extracted from the urine of pregnant horses.
Horse urine.
Two-thirds of those estrogens are never found in human beings. So they were using an estrogen that humans don't make. Then they coupled it with a drug called Provera, which is medroxyprogesterone acetate. A synthetic progestogen, not real progesterone. That combination did increase the risk of breast cancer by 27%. And everybody blamed it on the estrogen. What we found out over the next 12 years with a new paper, the European Three Nations Study, that had looked at 82,000 women over a 12-year period. Okay. They found out that it wasn't the estrogen. It was the Provera. Women who only took the estrogen lowered their risk of breast cancer by 30%.
Wow, much better.
Yes. Yeah. So women using the estrogen had less breast cancer. It was the Provera, the medroxyprogesterone acetate, increased the risk of breast cancer by 76%.
And that so was you the had estrogen feeding breast cancer?
Yes, that's right. Yes, it triggered the,
wow.
It helped trigger the mutation that caused an estrogen positive breast cancer. So what was going on? The estrogen lowered the risk by 30%. The Provera raised the risk by 76%. The net effect was a 27% increased risk of breast cancer.
Right. Now that you're saying all this, I remember you talking about this in the past. So women who get the estrogen feeding breast cancer, it's because they have the cancer cell in their, some mutation happens, and it
right.
produces their own estrogen. It has
yes.
nothing to do with the estrogen in the rest of your body. Your own,
that's
your
right.
own estrogen. It's,
precisely.
It's
and so
feeds on that.
Yeah, what we really need is a drug that will turn off the estrogen production in the cancer. But we don't have that drug.
Not yet.
The medication they take that blocks estrogen doesn't do
it. It blocks
it
everywhere.
It's like a big scatter shot. It turns off all the estrogen.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. You're.
And that's
you're,
why they have all these problems.
Precisely. Because you turn off all the estrogen in the whole body, and the brain needs estrogen. So you start getting cognitive and memory problems and, you know, mood changes and depression.
Thinning bones.
The heart needs estrogen. So you increase your risk of heart attacks significantly. Interestingly, the colon needs estrogen. Estrogen lowers the risk of colon cancer by 40%.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah. And I've been so worried about my younger sister and my two friends, but my sister in particular, and I've talked to her about the clinic, and she's kind of into natural stuff and things. I keep hoping she's going to eventually go over there because I know she's she's just putting herself at such high risk for all these other problems you're talking about because she's taking this estrogen-blocking thing. But anyways, well, that clears it up. And because I just thought that last week, I go, why isn't the estrogen I'm getting, why wouldn't that put me at higher risk? And you've explained
well, that's why the estrogens we're using are the same estrogens your own body produced when you had much lower risk of breast cancer. And we aren't using Provera, the synthetic progestogen. We use real progesterone, which it turns out real progesterone in an EP positive tumor, that is a cancer that is sensitive to both estrogen and progesterone. The progesterone slows the growth of the tumor by about 50%.
Real progesterone.
The medroxyprogesterone acetate increases the growth. Real progesterone slows the growth.
Wow. Okay, one last question for you. Who was the original actress that played Esmeralda in The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
I have no idea.
Beautiful redhead, Irish. I always thought
Maureen O'Hara.
Like
Maureen O'Hara?
Yeah, you got it. Bing, bing, bing. If I could give you a prize, I would.
I love her.
$1 million. Yes. Thank you so much for your answer. Call me my sort of fears.
All right. Take care,
you.
My dear. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling anytime. I love that. See, you don't need to worry about being on the radio. Change your name like Esmeralda did.
That's right.
But if we have a Quasimodo that calls us today, then we're going to have to talk. Okay, let's head over.
But Quasimodo was a good guy.
Yes, he was.
People
was so
were afraid
cute.
Of him because he was homely.
That's right.
You know, they
he looked
and,
different, so
well,
they were worried.
And in the 1800s, they still connected physical
changes and abnormalities, maybe.
Well, they connected being beautiful with virtue. And they connected being ugly with vice. Because they felt that if God blessed you with good looks, then you must be a wonderful person. That's why he blessed you with good looks. And if he cursed you with making you ugly or deformed or disabled, you see, then you must have deserved it. Because God is just, and he would not burden you with this if you didn't deserve it.
Wow.
And so in 1800 and before, through most of human history, people have connected beauty and virtue and deformity and vice. And that's what played out in that book.
Back of Notre Dame.
Yes.
Okay.
And Quasimodo, on the other hand, what the author was trying to show, he was pretty forward-looking. That book demonstrated that the priest who represented conventional virtue and society standards was the evildoer.
He was the bad guy.
Yes, the priest was the bad guy. Quasimodo, that everybody, you know, thought was horrible, he was the good guy. He
had a
actually
heart of gold.
Right, and he had Esmeralda. He truly loved her and had Esmeralda's benefit at the top of his mind.
That's right.
So, you know, really, that book is a morality play, and it's teaching us, you know, that the traditional way of looking at things was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually moves to a far more modern way of looking at life.
There you go.
Just
all right.
For those of you that are a little behind on your literature, so.
Okay, I love that. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Jerry Mixon's book club.
That's
focusing
right.
on the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Okay, we've got some callers on the line. Boy, we're going to run. Let's try to get through as many as we can. John from Tacoma, welcome.
Hello, John.
Hello. Yeah, I was calling. I got a question about a prostate procedure.
Okay.
So I've heard you talk about them over the years and stuff. And so just a quick little history on me. I'm 70 years old. My PSA and in August of 20 was 0.48. In September of this year, it was 0.64. But the urologist noted that I was retaining more urine than I normally have. So I ended up getting an MRI of the prostate.
Yeah.
It didn't show any indication of any high-grade cancer or anything.
Good. Just BPH.
So
then.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Just benign prostatic hypertrophy, just a big prostate that's obstructing the bladder.
Yeah, you diagnosed me with a BPH.
So
last week he did the, where they scoped the bladder. And that was, you know, he noted there was severe bladder trabeculations.
Yes. It just says that the pressure has been high for a long time, and the bladder is basically growing extra tissue, trying to add some muscle to squeeze that urine out against the pressure. Yeah.
Yeah, it says there were no, I'm going to butcher this word, erythema,
no red spots, no increased areas of blood vessels. Yeah.
Okay. And so he's recommending that I get the, of the three procedures, I guess, that I get the TURP procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basing that on the large median lobe of the prostate.
Okay.
And he doesn't think the Rezum or UroLift would work good for me based on that. So...
All right.
I guess that's my question. Is I know I've heard you talk about these before, yep. And
yeah.
So I was just kind of curious on your thoughts on those procedures.
All right. Well, if you got a large median lobe, and if he resects that with a TURP, TURP, by the way, folks, stands for transurethral prostatic resection.
Okay.
So they go in through the penis with a scope, and they have basically a cutting loop that has a microwave generator hooked to it that causes it to vaporize tissue. And they just shell out enough prostate tissue to give you enough room so that you urinate and can drain your bladder well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Losing that large median lobe, on the other hand, is going to basically cause the external control of the bladder to be lost. The external valve is going to go. So I can predict a couple of things are going to happen with that procedure. One, you will pee much better. that's the good side. You'll stand there and you'll be like a teenager, and it's just 15 seconds and the bladder is empty, instead of the old man who stands there for 15 minutes and dribbles on his shoes at the end. The bad news is, assuming you're still sexually active, you will almost certainly no longer have ejaculate that you will see. When you climax sexually, it's going to go back into your bladder rather than out the penis. So you will lose some sensation with sexual climax. The other is you're probably going to need a catheter, to control your urine for some period of time, at least 2 to 3 months, and some small percentage of guys need it for 6 months or a year before they get their bladder control back. So TURP is probably the worst for that, but control does normally come back. But there will probably be a time that you'll need a catheter, and then you may need, you know, the little adult diaper sort of things to keep from staining your clothes for a while until you recover and get your control back. That's generally temporary.
Okay.
So, tell you what, the music says we got to take a little break.
Yep, we're going to take a break.
But I hear your wheels turning, and you've almost certainly got another question or comment. So hang on, and we'll finish you up when I get back.
That's
okay?
Right. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know.
Love. Right, isn't love wonderful?
love it. I love love.
I enjoy being in love so much. And I've been with Ben in 17 years now, and I adore that woman.
Yes.
I love her every bit as much as the first day I laid eyes and touched her.
I love hearing you talk about how much you love your wife. I just sent a message to my husband. I love you. Okay. Mushy is good, so don't
mushy
be rolling your
right.
eyes if you're listening.
Leading Can't edge, help it.
No, it's a good thing. Leading Edge Medicine.
Some people go into their second childhood at my age. I just did the second adolescence, and I just plan to stay there.
And there you go. I think I would like that, too. This is Leading Edge Medicine and Love Advice from Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we were talking with John from Tacoma. Okay, John, Dr. Mixon heard your wheels turning. Did you have another question about the prostate procedures?
Well, I guess, so. Yeah, so the TURP procedure, you'll end up peeing better. And he did tell me about, like the premature ejaculation thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not it's retrograde.
Or retrograde.
Yeah. You'll ejaculate at the normal rate. You just won't see it or feel it because it'll go back into the bladder. And so you do lose part of the sensation with intercourse. And of course, my answer to that is that you just have intercourse more frequently to make up for the decrease in intensity. How about that?
Yeah.
There you go.
A catheter for possibly 2 to 3 months or something?
Yeah, that's very common. Yeah, that's very common.
4 days or something.
Yeah. They put a great big one in at surgery. And that one will stay for a few days until you stop bleeding because there's a fair bit of blood loss with that TURP. And so what they don't want to have is a big blood clot block the bladder and cause obstruction and make you come back as an emergency. So they'll leave a very large bore, a 32 or so catheter in for 3 days, 4 days. Then they'll pull that out. Okay. And see how you pee. Now there are some very, very fortunate guys that get almost immediate return of bladder control, but they're rare. And so, what will happen, one of two things. Either they'll put in a smaller indwelling that you'll have to wear for a while, or they'll give you intermittent caths, and you'll just catheterize yourself, just in, drain the bladder, pull it out, and you'll do that every 3 or 4 hours until bladder control starts to return. That one means you're not wearing anything, but it also can be traumatizing to some extent, just because you're putting a catheter in and out through that raw tissue, and you can trigger a little bleeding intermittently. And if that bleeds a bit, don't get excited. That's pretty much normal. All you've done is kind of scrape a scab a little bit with the catheter, but. Total bladder control will be a progressive thing. You'll start with no control, and then you get a little control, and it gets better over time. A lot of guys find that they leak some urine for 3 to 6 months. And so they may need to wear, you know, either a woman's feminine pad in their underwear or some of the specialized, you know, quasi-adult diaper sort of underwear for a while. But then that normally goes away. It's a temporary embarrassment the vast majority of the time. You know, anything done to or by human beings, there's this wide spectrum of how well people heal. Mm. And some do gangbusters right away, and some just kind of piddle along forever. But
okay, so if you get lucky, you could be healed up in a month. If not, it could be several months.
That's right. But it will heal. And so it's a matter of being patient, you know, and you do what you need to do until it heals.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and I've heard you talk about, so the UroLift, it seems like I've heard you say that.
Yeah, I like
favorite.
The, yeah. No, UroLift, I'm not as crazy about, it tends to be more temporary. It's harder to do, needs to be redone. My favorite one is the Rezūm.
Rezūm. Oh, okay. resume.
Yeah, resume. And, you know, if I have a choice, I like resume. But, you know, the surgeon who does the procedures, assuming he does resume as well as a TURP. TURP is the old-fashioned one. You've been doing TURP yeah. since the 1950s, okay? Everybody learned to do a TURP in medical school and residency. The newer procedures are newer. Different physicians have different degrees of experience and facility with each of the newer procedures because they haven't been out as long and tend to be the more you do, the more adept you become at them, and the tougher cases you can handle. You know, I don't know your urologist. I don't know where he is on that learning curve. And it may just be that your anatomy is such that he doesn't think, the resume is going to be of benefit to you. And if so, I'm going to defer to his judgment because he's the expert, not me.
Okay. Yeah, he mentioned that he thought if I went with resume or UroLift, he thought I would be miserable.
Yeah. Okay.
For my particular situation, he recommends the TURP.
Yep. So you know, and medicine is, it is individual. You're not treating populations. You're not treating all men or all BPHs, you're treating this one individual and customizing the care to what that one person will get the most benefit with the fewest downsides is what good medicine is all about. And, you know, that seems to be the judgment of your physician. And I'd go with it.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, John, thank you so much for your call.
And thank you, Dr. Mixon, for your service to this nation.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
All right. Okay, we got another call. You ready for one, Dr.
Mixon?
We've got a couple more on the line. From Everett, let's head north. Jeremy has a question for you.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hi, Dr. Mixon. My wife and I are long-term patients at the Linwood Clinic.
Uh-huh.
And I just was wondering if you've looked much at growth hormone-releasing peptides.
Yes.
Specifically, follistatin 315. For myostatin suppression and muscle growth, or BPC 157 for injury recovery, as a supplement to the HRT program that we're on.
Yeah. You know, I actually sent Dr. Umat specifically to courses on the newer peptides, and she came home and basically said, The newer peptides have great promise, but what they don't have is FDA approval for the indications that they're being sold for. We tend to be a little bit leery of prescribing things for our patients unless we've got good data done by people that aren't selling it or manufacturing it. That they tend to be of benefit. And her opinion was she didn't think they were quite ready for prime time. And so we opted to not put them into our armamentarium quite yet. Now, that may change as data is collected. You know, and in fact, the meeting she's going to be going to next week will be addressing some of those. So, ask me 2 weeks from now. I might have a slightly different answer.
Okay. There seems like there's some pretty good studies with mice, it seems like the consensus is there's not a whole lot of real good
studies.
In-depth human studies yet.
Precisely. And, the lowest quality for me is the tissue cultures where they've got cells in a petri dish. If those translated to people, we'd have cured cancer long ago because we can always kill cancer in a petri dish.
Yes.
Rodents have very different metabolism than human beings, and an awful lot of things that work well with rodents don't turn out to work as well with humans. Some do, though. Sometimes it translates pretty well, but often it doesn't. And so I'm a little cautious when all I've got is rodent studies. I love it when I've got decent human studies, because that tells us in our species with things we can control, we're getting, a good result. And that, I think that's where we are with most of the peptides. We've got very interesting animal studies. We don't have, or at least at the time we looked at it 6 or 8 months ago, we did not have really good, compelling human studies. We'll see what she finds when she goes next week.
Okay. Understand.
All right. Take care, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Mixon. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Ah, would you like a break, Dr. Mixon? You get to get all the questions. Really? We're going to take a break here in a couple of minutes. But, of course, Leading Edge Medicine is here every day, or every Saturday to take your phone calls, maybe someday every day, right? But for right now, Saturday, because you can only spread yourself 30 hours a day.
And yeah. I've actually got some people from Premier Network, which owns 1,500 radio stations. They're going to be coming down and visiting with us the 13th of this month.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
And so who knows? Maybe someday we'll do a national show. We'll see.
Oh, boy. They keep you busy. But for now, your clinics are keeping you busy.
That's
and
right.
Your passion of helping people just shines, especially on the air when you're answering questions and in your clinic with the people that come to Longevity Medical Clinics. You genuinely want to help them feel better
and
to live longer and be the best that they can.
I want them to have more than just an okay life. I'm looking for exceptional lives. I'm looking for people that are robust and energetic and enthusiastic about their life. You know, I want people to feel so good and so capable that they just go out and live their lives right out loud, full speed ahead, and have a wonderful time.
And who wouldn't?
Yeah, well,
yes.
Some folks opt not to.
That's right. And some folks are going, no, I just don't feel good. I'm too fat. I've gained weight. Oh, I'm just achy all the time. We're going to tell you something that can help you get on your way to a stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and
sexier
you. Right after the break, you stay right there, grab your pen and paper and your computer, and we'll tell you more in just a moment. And if you have a question, we can get you on the phone at 800-465-8770. Stay close.
I fly for a living, and I'm changing time zones and all this other stuff and getting colds. And when I get a cold, I can't fly. I thought, well, let's give this a shot. I started taking the supplements, and I noticed less colds. So I was working, you know. So then I thought, well, let's try the rest of it. But for us, it's big improvement, and that's why we stay with it.
Glad you're here. Just a few minutes left of our show and a couple of phone calls we'll get to in just a moment. But we were talking about the health analysis. So important to know where you are, because if you are saying, no, no, it's too late, I'm too old, there's nothing that can be done.
No such thing as too old.
No.
If you're still above ground and taking nourishment, we'll tackle the project.
Absolutely.
You know, that's obvious. I can accomplish more in a 40-year-old than a 90-year-old.
True, true. But you're not too late if you're wanting to get in at 50, 60,
or 70.
The oldest
one I ever started was 98 when she started the clinic.
I love this.
You know? And she went from being on a walker to walking a quarter mile twice a day.
And mowing her lawn.
And mowed her lawn when she was 101.
Oh.
She gave me palpitations because the thought of a 101-year-old woman pushing a lawnmower scared the bejabbers out of me. But, you know, hopefully it was a very small lawn and she had one of those mowers that pulled her.
There you go. And she was doing what she loved.
I kind of
envisioned her being on a self-propelled John Deere going around.
Been nice.
Yeah, with a little ball cap and sassy as anything.
She was sassy. She was indeed. She died at 103.
Yes. Yeah, so she lived to several years later and had a wonderful full end of her life.
Yep. She did indeed.
All right. Well, the important thing is, no matter where you are, we can start where you are, and you can be better than where you are 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I find that an awful lot of people start out where they are, and they get better each year for 3 to 5 years, at which point things tend to level off. And then at some point, they start to slide downhill again, just because we don't have the fountain of youth. We cannot actually make you 30 years old.
No, we can't turn the clock completely back.
Yes, but we can make a lot of progress. And, you know, if I can buy you an extra 10 years of really good, robust, love-filled life, why wouldn't you want that?
Yes. Why wouldn't you? Well, and the first step is just coming in to longevity, which is why you have the free health analysis.
That it brings them in the door, lets us do a couple of tests, see how much risk they really are. If they're doing great, we tell them they're doing great. But if they've got significant risk factors, then we want to do further testing and see what we can do to help.
Absolutely. Come on in for your free health analysis appointment. Like so many had, we had some callers today, Esmeralda and Jeremy and myself would love to have you come in to Kirkland, Tacoma, Linwood. Get that energy back. Start feeling better and find out what's going on in your body with that free health analysis. Two simple tests. You come in and you'll talk with a health advocate, and then you can opt to do a bigger blood test. That's up to you after you get some information. It's important to make that first step, though, and get in for that free health analysis. Here's our phone number. You can call 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go on our website to lmclinic.com. That's for Longevity Medical Clinic, lmclinic.com, and make your appointment there. It's fast. It's quick. You pick the day and time that works the best for you. All right. I hope that you'll do that this weekend and start your new year off feeling better and getting healthier and remembering things, too.
That would be good.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing.
The brain don't work. The rest don't matter.
It doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, Paul from Tacoma has been patiently waiting. Okay. Paul, thank you, Paul, for calling.
Howdy, howdy.
Hi.
Well, how can we be of help?
The radio stations I listen to are advertising a thing called Navage, and it looks like it's some plastic reservoir, and you supposedly clean your nose out with it. And
yes.
Because your nose will become blocked with viruses and bacteria.
Okay. More likely with mucus.
This sounds like a formula for something going wrong.
Well, it's actually a modern takeoff on an old thing that's been around 1,000 years called a neti pot. A neti pot.
Oh, yes.
Which used to just be made out of porcelain. Mm-hmm. And you would take salt water, basically, cleans warm body temperature salt water. And you would instill it in one side of your nose, and it would run to the very back of your throat and around and out the other side of your nose. And it's just a mechanical flush. I tried it one time just because I was curious. I didn't like it. Never did it a second time. There are people that do it routinely and swear that it keeps their nares clean and clone. And I suppose it's aesthetically better than picking your nose with your finger as you drive down the highway. But you know, people don't look at you and go, ew.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing this at least in the privacy of your bathroom. It flushes, it washes. You know, you said virus. I have serious doubts it does much for viruses. It cleans out mucus. Mm-hmm. It probably is very good at getting rid of dust and pollen and all of those things that our nares are designed to pick up and keep out of our lungs. So it's a wash. I can't swear that I've seen any real control studies showing that it's of great benefit from a health standpoint. People do it. Some swear for it. I swore at it.
That's probably what I would do.
So, you know, that's about all I can tell you about the fancy neti pot.
My finger's cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
But doctor, aren't people putting like zinc in their nose to help maybe with viruses?
Or? Yeah, zinc is actually one of the most effective antivirals we've got. And yeah, you can buy that at the drugstore. Airborne sells a version. I now know that Kroger, you know, Walgreens and Kroger's and stuff all have their own private versions. I keep a box of it in my medicine cabinet. On those rare occasions I start to get stuffy and think I might be going to come down with a cold, I grab it and swab my nares with the zinc and do it before I go to bed, and by the next day I'm fine. So, you know, I haven't had a cold in years and years, and I kind of use that as a prophylactic on an as-needed basis. I find that more acceptable than a neti pot.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
yeah.
Does that help you any?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's really any harmful effect. It just,
yeah.
Is it really worth spending whatever they charge for it?
That's right. Yeah. You know, and especially if they're advertising on TV, they're spending a whole lot of money and they got to get that money back.
There you go. And they're going to charge you a lot for it,
yeah,
probably.
If you just go online, if you really want to give it a try, look up neti pot on your Google or
Amazon. And it's N-E-T-I, is that right?
N-E-T-I pot, okay. Yeah. And there's 1,000 versions of them out there, and people make them and sell them cheap.
There you go. Try that first, maybe.
All right.
Or the zinc.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you so much, Paul. All right. We are getting close to the end of the show. We might be able to slip in one more phone call. 800-465-8770 is the number to call. We did have a question here about the COVID test, immunity test for COVID, FARS-CoV-2 antibody spike. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Or what that is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you're looking for is the antibodies to the spike.
Okay.
That is where the virus attaches to your respiratory cells. Mm. There's a lot of these antibody tests out there. They're made by probably a dozen different companies. Some have higher false positives than others.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, some of them run false positives of 6 and 7%, which means there's 6 to 7% chance it'll tell you you're positive and you're not.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But if that happens, you know, if you get a positive test on that, you run out and you do the PCA, you know, do the polymerase chain reaction, the PCR.
Okay.
And that is far more accurate. It has a very, very low false positive rate.
Okay.
So, you know, those tests are available. They're decent for screening.
Okay.
But the PCR is the gold standard.
That's
we all
the
use.
One. And what are the, do you still have to take the PCR? Has that regulation been, has that been lifted at the border? Now, I know that's the one that my husband has been taking to go across the border to visit his family in Canada.
If you come in or back and forth from Canada or Europe, you need a PCR.
PCR, and that's the one that's more costly.
Yeah, if you're one of the 2 million people that cross the border from the south.
Oh, yeah.
No test required.
No test required. In fact, no vaccination required.
No vaccination, no test, no
mask.
They
even get a big fat check.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I wanted to ask about that to see if any of the changes, because I know they were talking about maybe for 72 hours they might lift it.
Anywhere from Europe, Asia, or Canada, if you come through the official ways, you have to be tested, you have to be vaccinated. If you come in through the southern border,
it's a free-for-all.
Not needed.
Okay. There you go. All right. And we get occasionally people calling in wanting to know and concerns that if they've had their COVID first shot, their second shot, and their booster, that they don't need the flu shot. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, a COVID shot doesn't cover the flu.
No, it's something different, right?
Yeah. We had a very light flu season last year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it'll be like this year. I got my flu shot.
Okay. In fact, you did yours the same day you
got
your
booster. I did the same day. I got the flu in my left arm and COVID in the right.
And you were a little sore that day. So
a little sore the next day.
No pumping you in the shoulder there.
Nope. But that was it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, there's the music.
Time to go.
Time to go. Thank
Hawaii
you.
Hawaii 5-0.
Yes. Thank you for all of your calls today. We'll be back again next week. And if we didn't get to your question, we'll try next week. How about that? On Leading Edge Medicine. In the meantime, check us out online. We love visiting with you either over the phone. You can get information about setting up your health analysis at 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Just say, hey, I want that health analysis that they do on the radio on Leading Edge Medicine, and they'll get you started. If you'd like to do it yourself, go to our website. Plus, there's so much information there. There are videos on different concerns you may have, different things that we offer. Find out all about lmclinic.com, Leading Edge Medical Clinic. That's at lmclinic.com, and you'll get your free health analysis appointment there. You can schedule it at the time and the day that works the best for you, and even pick the clinic, Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood. All right? Okay, until next week, Leading Edge Medicine continues, and we hope you have a wonderful week and the rest of your weekend. On behalf of Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and myself, I'm Lynette. You have a very good day.